Yes, I can hear you well.
Look, it said this meeting is being recorded. It gives me an option to leave the meeting. Boom, I'm out of here. You can't record me. You got the backdrop looking nice and everything. I'm like, man, I got a white wall behind me.
Hey, you know, it's a feature that I just discovered last night.
It says, but you could put your own icon up there or whatever in the back, right?
Yeah.
I saw the Golden Gate Bridge. I was about to pop up on here with the Golden Gate Bridge on you. You wouldn't have been able to handle that.
You know, we have to escape to somewhere. You know, you can't leave the house. So.
That's right. That's right. I was looking in my office this morning. Bye-bye, mamas. I'll see you in a moment. Luckily, we can edit this, so we're good.
Yes.
But I thought about this morning, like literally putting up, like, you know, our new logo on our wall so that any video I film and stuff like that is like right like you are. Yeah. So what are you really sitting behind right now in front of?
My bookcase.
You could be big from anywhere these days.
Yes.
That is awesome.
You know, years ago, this Christian group, Dawkins and Dawkins, you know.
I know Dawkins and Dawkins well.
Yeah. So, at one of their intros, they had a skit on there where they were trying to get a hold of their producer. And he said to them, he said, it's hard to be big when little got you.
Little still got you. Yeah, exactly. Right. Not anymore.
No, you can be big from anywhere.
From anywhere. That is awesome.
Go. Yes.
Well, it looks good. It looks real good.
I was wondering how it was gonna be. And so this is my first one I've done with the backdrop on there.
And you were bold enough to do it. Your first run without seeing it.
Right.
Okay.
You know, I figured when I was on, I said, well, you know, it doesn't look too bad, you know. But yeah, it's good.
It's a digital feature, so I'm sure. If at the end of the video, if you wanted to edit it out, I'm sure you probably could.
I'm hoping.
But it looks good. It looks really good, though.
Yeah.
Let me make sure the camera's got my best angles.
You know, yeah. Well, hey, when you have a fresh cut, because, you know, you're your own barber. My barber is at home, and he can't cut my hair, so...
Yeah, you happen to be
have to rely on a do-rag to lay it down or something.
You're afraid of the curls, I'm telling you.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I think I had that just that whole thing back from in the day when, you know, you had the you know, the Jerry curls and all that stuff going on, man. And so when I came out of that and I got delivered, you know, I don't even want to go back to anything that resembles a curl.
You know, I'm like right on. I mean, the Jerry curl is not mine, but you see, like, the new styles these days, everybody's wearing their hair big, they're growing it out,
right?
And I'm right on the edge of that generation to where I'm like, you know, I grew up like this,
yeah,
short cut, it was faded, nice line, it was always tight, none of this long, overgrown, nappy sponge stuff. And right. I did that sponge look, or I would say kind of a little rugged look for a couple of years. And while we're on this quarantine, I'm like, that's not me, man. You know, yeah. I got to myself again.
Gotta go back. Yes.
Let me get back to that short, smooth look, you know? So.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And I'm glad you can get back to that.
Heck yeah.
While the rest of us are suffering.
It's okay. It endures for a moment. You know, if you can endure for a moment, I'm telling you, there's a harvest on the other side.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Well, man, thank you for joining us. This platform has just been a thing where I wanted to bring leaders on and share with a level of transparency and vulnerability that they don't normally get a chance to share, you know, and particularly when you're leading an organization or a business or whatever it is, if you're leading, you know, a lot of times we have to be so on that it's hard to just step back a minute and just say, remember to be transparent and to be vulnerable with our teams. And then also, I see people with certain levels of success, right? And so my thought is how did you get there? How did you do that, right? And so a lot of times, and particularly in the Christian circles, you know, they, you know, we throw on there, you know, God is good and God has blessed us, you know. And I'm like, yes, I know that, but what are the mechanics and the tools and the techniques that you use that God was able to multiply with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me some of the details in that. So and so that's what this platform really is for me, is to dig down and see what, you know, what people are doing that in trade secrets, things that they don't normally get a chance to share or talk about a lot, you know, but just wanting them to, you know, have that opportunity. And it's a learning platform for me. So I get to learn while I'm introducing things and content to those who follow us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to start out first by saying I'm usually talking behind the chair and not on, you know, platforms like this. Yeah. So I figured that there's protocol that you should follow, you know, and one of those things are saying, you know, thank you for inviting me to do this, because it's not often that I do get an opportunity to do it. But truth is, I actually enjoy things like this, because I feel like not only as a business owner, business leader, but also as a Christian, there are a lot of, you know, things that stir in my heart a lot that I feel would be of help to, you know, others out there, you know, wherever they are on their journey that could relate. And so I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share what's in my heart, and hopefully could do some good for people who are listening on.
Yes. And, you know, and also, man, and actually, you know, I've always enjoyed our conversations, and typically I call them shop talks, because typically I'm in your shop, in your chair.
Right.
And you're always given great insight. And, you know, just, and I say you're a young man because you're younger than me.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? I'll take the young man. I'll be that guy.
By some years, actually.
Uh-huh.
But your wisdom and your insight about business and different things of that nature is so just unique. And it helps us. And this is why I always tell people, you know, learn how to bridge gaps between generations, because a lot of times older generations feel like they have to teach that younger generation. But I believe that for those of us who were in Generation X and those who are coming behind us, like in your generation and your brother's generation, y'all have a lot to teach us as well. And
for
if
sure.
we actually work together, you know, we can actually be, we can move some things forward, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you guys, you see things in a way that, you know, I was trained to see things one way. Like you get into a system and you let that system, you know, take you through. And that's it. Like you don't look outside that system. And so, and I've always had a hard time with that, because I've never, like, my brain doesn't just lock into one thing. So I'm always looking at other things, looking at things outside of the box and so forth. And so when I get a chance to talk to young guys like yourself who are trailblazers, it really just lights a fire in me, because I'm like, yes, because see, you know, you guys like, was born and said, you know, like, not just like screw the system, but hey, how can we reinvent the system? How can we take the system for what it's worth and build upon that in a way that is unique and different? So I always appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. You getting any background noise there?
No.
Okay, no. Good.
Yeah. And we know you got a new little one in the house that.
Yeah. There's things. There's things going on at any moment. So
yes, she commands her attention.
She is a very strong-willed individual at the tender age of 21 months.
Right. So, yeah. And she's beautiful. Like, she's a perfect mixture of both you and her mom. Like,
yeah, that is true. Perfect. That is true. And I appreciate the beauty part too. I always say, you're beautiful, you're brave, and you're brilliant. Awesome. You know, triple B. Yes. You know, so yeah, so she's a gift to us. And but yeah, speaking about what you're talking about, the, you know, you being raised in a system, I think our generation, I'm right on the edge of that millennial generation. A lot of my friends are older than I am, so I tend to lean more towards, you know, your generation, you know, in a lot of the traditional ways of my thinking. But then I'm right on that edge to where, you know, we around, you know, college, MySpace became, that was my freshman year. You know, that was my first social media platform. And I haven't dabbled into social media too much otherwise, but MySpace happened then. That was the beginning of social media, you know? And so that kind of starts to bend my, you know, my attention a little bit as to, you know, innovation and thinking of ways to do things, you know, just like, I shared a couple things with you in our talk yesterday that, you know, your generation might not even know, because, you know, the traditional way of saying, okay, let me call and get this person to get this thing done. I'm like, you can get anything you need done. I can get somebody right now to work on something for me in Africa or India or China, you know, right now, because I'm privy to those informations and I've utilized them, you know, but you know, someone in your generation might not think that way. It's like, okay, call the local contractors, get them out here, let's sit down and have a 5-hour meeting. And
or like out. I was yesterday, sitting at a table trying to figure out, like, I'm like, man, where? How do I put this door into this cat design? Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm like, I'm not an engineer, like, I don't know. Like,
exactly.
I don't even know if I measured the room right, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't even know. I'm just like, hey, whatever, man. I'm going to figure it out, though, because I know I need to get it done.
Right.
But it freed me up so much, because it makes me go back to thinking about the things that I can think about that I'm good at, you know?
Absolutely.
And working on those things instead of trying to work on everything.
Yeah.
And so that was good. And so if we hadn't had that conversation, I would have never known about the resource, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I mean by, you know, learning things. And I think we are, if nothing else, this crisis that we're in right now with COVID-19 should be teaching us that our livelihood depends upon collaboration.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, it's if from the federal level, government levels, you know, state levels, and even
the local level,
city level, local levels, right? We need collaboration. And so this is not the time for competition. This is not the time for me pushing my agenda ahead. This is really the time for us to sit down at the table and figure things out together, so that we can get past this, right? Like, you know, I stumbled upon a conversation at a local level about all the food drive-by pickups and all these different things. And I'm like, you know, I said, well, the genius is that as long as there's one on every side of town, you know, that's in, you know, that people can get to, then you're doing good. I said, but the thing of it is how can we, how can I go to, which the food distribution next to our location is like Wayman Palmer, one of the YMCAs, right? So how can I pitch in to Wayman Palmer to help that be better versus setting up shop on the next corner to competing with, you know, with that? This is not the time for that. This is a time for collaboration. And if I can go spend, you know, $500, $1,000 at the food bank and then mobilize volunteers and all those things, I can do the same thing by pouring in that $1,000 over to their system and send those volunteers over so everybody's not stressed out and thinned out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is, and this just talks to what you talked about earlier about, you know, the older generation, you know, collaborating with the younger generation. I think that, you know, I'll drop this in there. Anytime two or three are gathered, you know, God will be in the midst, you know. And so there really is an exponential factor that goes into just collaboration, like what you could do by yourself. You know, adding another person to that mix literally allows you to go further. You know, it's not like 1 + 1 = 2. Like that equation doesn't work like that. Right. You know, the 1 + 1 actually equals 20 in that scenario. You know what I mean? It's exponential. So if we can take our collaborative thoughts, and I tell my team this all the time, a whole bunch of gifted people here. Okay. There's a vision. There is a vision, a singular vision. In this case with COVID-19, the singular vision is making sure that our city doesn't suffer, period. Right. Okay? If you are able to take whatever your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your abilities are, and literally put them together, there will be a multiplicative effect of good that happens. But you have to bring them together. So it's like, okay, what are you good at? You never set up, you know, not, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about just anyone. What are you good at? If you've never set up a food bank before, now is not the time.
Right.
But you might have the resources, you know? You might have the resources, you know, to connect this person with that person that can do a world of good if we just, like you said earlier, lay those agendas aside and literally come together and say, okay, how can we do good for the people that are in need? Because you never know. We might be the people in need tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So, you know, you don't know. I mean, especially with all the predictions we believe in, you know, pray and hope, you know, that we are, you know, going to, you know, succeed this thing and, you know, get past this thing. But we have to do our part as good human beings to be a part of the good. And I think the more we can collaborate, you know, the better opportunity there is for more people to be helped. So I'm 100% into that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I think that because, you know, and you have to realize then what is your contribution in the midst of all of this, right? I should probably put my phone on vibrate. But, you know, but what is our contribution? And I think in this time, everybody wants to make a contribution. Everybody wants to be of some service or some help. But sitting back and just realizing what makes sense in this time, you know. Because you may be the person that need to, you know, post up and pray and rally other prayer warriors, you know, like you might be getting in the way, getting out there. And for us, it was contributing to, and then also providing transportation for those who didn't have transportation to the nearest food thing to get to, you know what I mean? So if we provide transportation 3 or 4 days out of the week, for people who don't have transportation to get there, you know, take them in a van so that way they can, you know, load up what they need to load up, then we're doing great, you know. Serving a few group homes that for people who can't get out, you know, and making sure those things are stocked up, that's our contribution. And so, and it wasn't about highlighting all those things, but it was just about pitching in and doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pitching in and doing it. And so, but that's good, man. That's, and collaboration is definitely, I think, at the focal point right here. But now, switching gears a little bit, just to talk about your leadership during this time, you were one of the ones that was, like, affected, like, on a decision immediately. Like, the governor spoke it, and y'all had to close, like, the same day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We were working like literally that night when that announcement came out on March 18th. I heard about it around 3:30. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday. But when they made that announcement, our phones literally went crazy because clients are thinking, well, shoot, how long is this going to last? I might not be able to get back in there. Right. You know, actually, I saw you late that evening, in fact.
Yes.
You know, I think we cut that evening till like 11, 12 o'clock at night, you know, just to try to accommodate all of our guys and make sure that, you know, we can delineate some of the ugly that might come out as a result of no haircuts, you know?
Right. I'm so grateful I was able to get in. You guys extended your hours.
Imagine what it would be right now.
Oh, dude.
It'd be brutal,
I'd
right?
Be like a little Benny Fro, like.
Yeah, getting him play, you know, with a pickup top.
Right.
But yeah, that announcement came down, you know, and of course, I am a man of faith, and I know, and I don't say I hate that I got to give a qualifier here, but I'm not being insensitive to, you know, maybe someone else who might hear this and be like, you know, when I heard it, I was devastated, you know, my whole world went upside down. Both my wife and I had the same, you know, stance on this. Like, literally, as soon as we heard the news, we said, God will provide. That was the way we chose to look at the situation from the get-go.
Yeah.
God will provide. And one of the things that we have prayed ever since we've been married, and, you know, it's in the Lord's Prayer, is give us this day our daily bread.
Yes, sir.
And we have literally operated on that daily bread principle for the whole, you know, 3.5 years of our marriage. Because while you're building, sometimes you don't have any other, you know, way but to believe God for that daily bread.
Right.
You know, right. this thing is due today. God provide for us.
Yes.
We're going to do our job. We're going to get out. We're going to work. We're going to use our brain that you've given us. We're going to use our hands that you've given us, you know, but we need you to come through in a supernatural way.
Yes.
You know, and so on March 18th, when that did come across our table, and we're like, okay, we're going to be good. The first thing I thought about was, how are my people going to be? Because I know not everybody operates from that, you know, that vantage point.
That's true.
You know, so, you know, how are my people going to be? Making sure that, you know, in this time of instability, that there could still be some stability, you know, for them, you know, and utilize, you know, what the government has put in place to make sure that people can still stay stable, you know, and feed their families throughout this. So that was our first thought is, you know, daily bread, you know, and we're going to choose to see this thing a way. And that way is that we're going to come out better on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's key, man, because that daily bread principle, we often forget, you know, especially when you start living in abundance and you have a lot coming in and all those type of things, you really forget, like, God, you still got to, you know, provide daily, right? There's still something I need from you daily. It may not be something of a monetary thing right now, but I need your presence. I need your word. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need something from you every day. And I think that we stay there, no matter what our finances look like or what our business ventures are looking like, our portfolio is looking like, when we stay right there in that mind frame of, God, I need you. I don't think these things, although they pinch us and hurt, they cause us to regroup and re-strategize, but they don't affect us in a way that it throws us our whole life off balance. You know what I mean? Like, God, okay, we've been here before. And I think entrepreneurs like ourselves, you know, like you, you know, when you are, like you said, building a vision and building on something, there's sometimes there can be extended amount of times that you're living, God needs you to provide today. Like, I'm working every day. I'm using my brain, right? I'm using my hands. I'm using everything you've given me. I'm not being lazy. I'm not sitting around the couch. I'm out here grinding, right? Like, we are grinding. And so, but we need you, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember back in 15, well, my decision to leave where I was working was in 14. It took me all of 15 to pour out organizational knowledge so that, and then creating a succession plan because that time that place had never, they hadn't had a succession plan really in place for key leaders. And so the so leaving there in 15 and like right then, like my mindset was I want to build this nonprofit, right? And but I also have to have multiple streams of income because I know this is going to be, you know, on like life support for for some time, right? So we started doing coaching, life coaching, and we started a group home, and that, and well, not in all in the same time, but we started the group homes first, and we started doing the life coaching and different things of that nature, and then but it, there was periods where, man, I'm like, okay, God, today, right?
Right, today, absolutely. Like
you said, this is due. This is what's required of me. And I don't have it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't have it, so I need you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that daily bread principle is a place of surrender, you know, and as believers in the world of business and, you know, in the workplace, I think that's what ultimately God has called us to, is to be surrendered, like literally every single day. You know, it, like you said, it's not just about money. Sometimes you need it. Yeah. You know, it answers all things, you know, yeah. So sometimes you do need it. But daily bread is a principle that you literally are just saying, God, I am 100% reliant on you. Mm. I'm just reliant on you.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times, even when the money's not there, God can show up with favor.
That's it.
You know, with like.
Just literally, like, think about how much it costs to talk to an attorney, you know? If you are in complete surrender and you are allowing God to be, you're allowing your temple, your body, you surrendered this body into God. And you have literally allowed him to use you in every interaction. If you show love to the customer that comes into your establishment, no matter what business you're in, that person just might be the person that's on assignment to come in and give you the information that would have cost you $1,000, $2,000, just because you met a need that he had at a low place in his life.
Man.
And that's why I say it's important to surrender. And I think that's how I try to teach my team and how I try to approach what we do every single day is literally be at a place of surrender. Because if you can surrender, you can serve. And if you can serve, you literally become a beacon of hope for people because you never know what people are experiencing throughout the course of their day. And even though people have issues, people have answers.
Yes.
So you're talking about favor. You're talking about having resources being, you know, bestowed upon you. All you have to do is surrender and be a place of hope for people. And when you are that place to people, people give unto you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that is especially for all of us entrepreneurs, you know, business leaders, leaders of anything in any facet, always being at a place of surrender and knowing that you were there on assignment, that you are literally in that place because you were called to that place, not for a position. You know, not for any glory, right. You know, not for any of that stuff, but because God has put people around you, whether they work for you, whether they're coming in to shop with you, whatever it may be, God has put people around you that actually need your light in this dark place.
Yes. They need that.
They need that light. Yes. You might be the only light they ever get. You might be the only light they've seen in a while. Wow. Imagine the people right now during this time that literally don't know God.
Yeah, man.
This is a hopeless time.
Yeah, I remember reading a book one time, and I can't remember the author's name. I want to say maybe it was Rick Warren, but I can't remember exactly. I don't want to, you know. But I remember he was in the book. It was saying that we should live missional, right? Mm-hmm. Like our life as believers is missional. It's not like, you know, some people say, man, I wish I was in full-time ministry or I wish I was that, you know what I mean? And I tell people, you know, you have to realize that if you're a believer, you're full time, period. Like, you know what I mean?
You're full time all the time. That is actually what your call is.
Yes.
No matter where you find yourself, if you find yourself leading, you know, if you find yourself entry, you know, you just got the job. If you right. are a believer, your job is to make all men disciples, period. It boils down to that.
Yes.
So it's not saying that you got to have your Bible and smacking people across the head when they sit right. in your chair, you know what I mean, or anything like that. But it's recognizing that you are light. Yes. And if you can recognize that you are light, that helps you make decisions every single day in whatever you're doing.
Man, I tell you, and it draw and that light draws people to you. I don't care if you're a janitor, a security guard, and I've been both. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then one of my first businesses was a janitorial services that we did. You know, but I can remember being in a place doing floors. Right? I mean, doing floors. And before I've known it, before the night's over with, we've touched five people, like, mm-hmm. you know, and been light to them and offered them, you know, different things in their life that helped them, you know, mm-hmm. along the way. But here it is, my job or the reason I'm in that facility was
to clean the
floors, right? Yeah. You know, but when you live missional, that light is there. And you know, I have a purpose, even yet on top of this reason that they pay me to be here, I still have a purpose because someone needs to be exposed to the light that I carry, right?
Yep.
They may be in a dark time. And this is why I love it when, I think Paul says it this way, where he give gifts to men at his mm-hmm. will. Right. And so yep. is he gives those things because it's when you need to use it is when you have it. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like you may not operate, you know, and even people who put titles on their name and nothing's wrong with that. I'm, you know, not here, you know, to criticize. It's just my thing is that even those individuals are not that gift is not on them all the
because
time
of the title.
When they need it, right?
Oh, right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's when they need it. It yeah. pops up, they operate in it, right?
Exactly.
That's your gifting. And so, but man, I really like that because, you know, when we talk about being missional and being a light, and then here it is, which I love the mindset that you have around this crisis that our nation is in. And the fact that, okay, March 18th, March 19th, you guys shut down, you know, you cut hair all the way through, you service the men. And I dare not just say cut hair because your place is like the place.
Thank you. It starts with the haircut. That's the attractional thing. I can go get my haircut.
Yes. And it's, you know, it is not about, you know, the service is there. You know what I mean? Like, you are, people know your name, people remember your name, people are servicing you in a great way. But yet, at the same time, at the end of this, you saw that, okay, because my job stopped, my purpose didn't stop.
Absolutely.
And my purpose as a leader didn't stop. Right, because
yeah.
you are still leading your team, even though they're not receiving a paycheck from you right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so talk to us about how things are going now behind the scenes, how you're utilizing this time in your business.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with business owners, especially small business owners, that don't have, you know, capital from an outside source. Literally to where everything that you know, bring in the door, you are utilizing it to move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are in that place, you literally are everything. You know, you have to be everything that the business needs anytime the business needs it. So if the business needs a glass cleaner, well, you got to get out and wash those windows, you know. If the business needs, a plumber, you're the plumber. Now, none of these things are inside of your realm of expertise, but you have to be everything that you need to be for that business at that time. And so I think when you're in those day-to-day, you know, routines, you don't get the opportunity to pull your head up to breathe a little bit. Right. You know, and I guarantee every business owner that's listening to this can 100% relate.
Yes.
Because you are literally grinding every single day, every day. Mm-hmm. So much so that you could get so much into that grind that that vision that God initially gave you in your heart, you end up kind of marching in place on it versus marching forward with it. Mm. Because you haven't had time to come up and breathe, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'll share with you some of the things that we've been doing in this process. But again, I like to get back more so to the mentality, you know, of what happens to you when you get caught in that grind every single day and you lose sight of the heart of the reason why you got into doing what you're doing. Because I know for me, I didn't get involved in cutting hair for money. I got involved cutting hair for people. Because I always thought, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll be like, I was in college at UT and I went for marketing, you know, and then I transferred and went to a Bible college. Maybe I'll be a youth pastor, you know. And then I was like, nah, maybe not the youth pastor because the place that I went to didn't cultivate the type of person that I was. So I'm like, let me go finish out my degree at UT, you know, and I'll remain in business. And I decided that when I was coming along, and I had a really good friend of mine, Valentine, which our stores are, you know, a part of, inside of his clothing stores, he actually was cutting his hair one day, and he said, you know, Kevin, he said, what's in your hands? And I said, clippers. And I said, but I can't support a family cutting $3 haircuts, you know, for the rest of my life, you know?
Right.
But I had this insatiable passion to do it, you know? And so I think you figure out ways to get to the place that allows you to do it on an excellent level that allows you to charge whatever you want. But then as a result of that, you collect a great clientele, you know? And so we ended up getting I actually didn't meet you through cutting hair. I met you actually through church.
Right, right.
Right? Yes. But you're a client now, you know, and we are now, you know, involved in this discussion, but I am able to indulge in these types of discussion with great people like you and so many other business leaders in the community that allows me to get that, you know, that feeling of, you know, personal connection that I was going towards when I was thinking about going toward youth ministry. You know, and so along this process, even though, you know, our business has come to a halt, you know, we've thought about, okay, even though we're not servicing these guys behind the chair, we still have a place in their lives because we keep these guys looking good, empowered for whatever meeting they have to go into, whatever they have to face in this world. A haircut gives so much confidence.
Right.
And so immediately we had a conference call the day after, my team and I, and I was like, okay, even though the shop is closed down, we're going to do our best to stay in front of people and our best to continue to be a light. And that's why I say there are tactics for sure, but more than anything, there's a mentality of literally saying that we are going to be a service as much as possible in this time to make sure that we can help people get through this time. Because normally our tool to do it is a haircut.
Right.
But just because that tool is taken away, that's just the tool.
Yes.
That is just a tool. We got many tools in our toolbox.
Right.
You know, but literally the main focus of it is the mentality behind how you use whatever tool it is that you have. I said, we're going to continue to be light in this situation. We're going to continue to spread hope in this situation. We're continually going to exploit the dark places in this time to make sure that our clients know, to make sure that our clients know that we love them, we care for them, you know, and we're there for them. So some of the tactical things that we've done throughout this time is giving online tutorials, you know, for haircuts for some of our gentlemen, you know, literally to where it's kind of like this Zoom. I'll get on there, you know, and I literally will teach somebody how to cut their hair to the best of their ability over a FaceTime chat, you know. That's one way that I see that has definitely added value, but also just gave me time to, you know, hang out and chat with some of my clients that I haven't seen, you know, in a while. We'll sit back, you know, grab a drink and sit there and just chat, you know what I mean? And I'll teach them how to cut their hair, you know, but that's been a way to add some added value in ways that we never thought that we would have to do, you know? I think, you know, the day that it all happened, these, because of the way that we thought about it, like, I'm thinking, okay, take a day to get quiet so that you could see, you know, what it is that you need to see in this time so that you can be an answer. You know, and this is kind of going back to what I started with. You get so busy as a business owner that your vision sometime, I won't say that it, I won't say that it, I will say your vision stops evolving. You know, with your vision, it is a constant evolution. Like, you have the seed in the beginning, right? This seed of what you think great is and what you want to, you know, do in this world and play your part in this big world. You've got this seed. And as you grow, if you can keep your head above water, meaning that you've got enough space to operate your business, but also have time for planning and have time for vision time and all of those things, you can continually evolve that vision to where that vision does not get stale, but it continues to evolve. It continues to grow, you know, and this time has provided the opportunity to do that to where we can do, you know, think about, okay, how can we still service the clients? You know, one thing that we've been working on for a while is getting a store up to where our clients, no matter where they are, can continue access, you know, the hair products that they might need. You know, we've also added grooming tools on there to make sure that they can stay well groomed while they're home. Like, literally just finding in our sphere of influence, how can we be an answer? That's it. That literally boils down to how can we be an answer? You know, we've also taken a lot of time, you know, literally just to learn new stuff, you know, especially, you know, with, you know, this whole PPP and, you know, all of these different loans that the government is giving out. You have to take time to learn these things.
Yes.
You know, so I've been on the phone with my attorney, my accountants, my payroll company has been awesome, you know, sending out information, you know, to make sure that we stay on top of this stuff. But I'm a creator, you know, like I'm a, like that's what I mainly do is create, you know. So when all of these other, you know, things are coming out, you got to learn to, number one, make yourself, you know, aware that these things are available. But if you don't know, pull in resources. You know, pull in some, pull in the people that know more than what you know, to make sure that you're able to take advantage of everything that, you know, is at your disposal. You know, so this has been a refreshing time for us, truthfully, you know, to where we're literally able to get quiet, you know, learn some new information, you know, utilize and leverage some of the resources that was always there. They were always there. But because you're in the grind so much, you don't even realize what you have at your disposal. You know, like, they were all of these things actually were always there ready for us to take advantage of, you know, but you need time to slow down. And I think that's one thing that's really, really important is slowing down, getting quiet. Because I think in your quiet time, and I try to make this a practice every day as a believer, is literally just having quiet time. Quiet time that I could sit, I could pray, I can meditate, I could read my word. But in the busyness of life, if you don't have time to do that, if you don't take the time, I should say, to do that, you don't have the space to submit.
Right.
Because submission is a decision.
That's true. That is so powerful. Submission is a decision. Like you have to decide you're going to submit, that you're just.
And it's not only a vocal thing.
Right.
It's not like, okay, I'm going to submit, and then you just get up and you keep moving.
Like which a lot of people do.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
unfortunately, I've seen people do that with marriage. Like, hey, I'm going to commit, and then like, hey, I thought you was married. Like,
exactly. You know, it's like no, it's like with anything you say that you are actually going to do.
Right.
Anything you say you're actually going to do, it requires a series of steps after that.
Mm-hmm.
It requires walking out. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You literally can be, you know, delivered today because it's a spiritual act, but the act of restoring takes time.
Yes.
So it's a walking out that has to happen in between point A and point Z.
Come on, man.
You know, and so I think the same thing with
sanctification.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's the same thing. Submission. You say, okay, I'm going to submit. But now you have to do what you have to do to literally quiet yourself down so that you can receive the information that you need to receive. You know, we're talking about business here. So let's talk about strategy. So you can receive the strategy that you need. Like literally we took that next day after we were shut down to say, okay, what is the strategy? How do we continually serve our guys?
Yeah.
You know, from a submission service perspective, that's the idea. But think about it from the business perspective too, right? Because on the other side of this, this opens up opportunities for everybody to look.
Yes.
So, you know, if you aren't using this time to really like strategize, to get quiet, to learn new information, on the other side of this, people are going to be rushing to get out. Like people want to get, they want to get out. Yes. They're going to want to spend their money. They're going to get their haircuts again. In our cases, we want to be the preferred place that they come because we actually took time to say, how can we prepare a table for these guys to come back in that they enjoy?
Yeah, man.
But if you don't pause, if you don't take the time, you go back and do it as business as usual, I think there are going to be a lot of people that have an upper hand because they actually took the time to actually quiet themselves down, learn some information, utilize their resources so that they can start better than what they were before.
Yeah. And I think that's really key is how to utilize this time, because I think you can get into this mindset or this mode of being so busy trying to figure out how to survive that you don't see the gift in it.
Right? Exactly.
Like how many people have the opportunity to just stop, given an opportunity to rethink, reboot, re-strategize, and then be ready to launch with a whole new deal, platform, whatever. And that's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, like you can look at it as a gift or a curse, right? You know, and that's the thing. Like you can be looking at it as, you know, you can, I heard T.D. Jakes say this, is that in times like this, you will have the devil utilizing these opportunities to discourage people, to deplete people, to people who are frantic and fear, and then you'll have God using opportunities like this to rebuild people, to restore people, to
100%.
And so it's like, who are you going to submit to, right?
Yeah.
Like, because there's going to be one of the two. Like you either have to submit to this mindset, like, hey, I'm just going to keep business as usual, you know, or I'm going to do these particular, I'm going to do something different, you know, for us. With Empower One, we love every week getting an opportunity to sit across a table from a family to help them strategize and rethink about their life, you know, and helping them retool and put a plan together. And so when these things came about, our whole thing was, is that we could have took the loophole, well, it's less than 10 people, and there were things like that. But, you know, we want our families to know, let's take this serious, let's stay in, but how can we still touch you, reach you, you know, and help you strategize, because some of them are out of work, just now getting their foot up, you know, and so to speak, and just now starting getting that grind back for their life after being homeless or whatever the case
may be. Addicted. And then this happens, yeah.
And then this happens, right? And this can really deplete and put a glue, you know, put a pin in their balloon, so to speak, right? So, but one of the things we did was we began to use these platforms like Zoom and to see them, to encourage them, and then if they had, you know, the way our housing worked, their house with us is that they pay 30% of their income, or they put in so many hours of volunteer time if they don't have an income, depending on which program slot they fit in. And we're not government funded, so we don't get like the other 70% on the back end. No, we just, it's just for them to put skin in the game, you know?
Right.
Like you, if we're going to be anti-poverty, that means we can't be a handout organization. You know,
right.
we have to require something of you, and we have equal buy-in and equal partnership in this thing. And so, but one of the things that we were able to do for them is like, okay, let's suspend this. If you're not working, doesn't matter about the stimulus. Let's help you work a plan to get through crisis. And really, some of them have been in crisis. Their whole life was a crisis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But
this was the first time, like one of the families said to us, this is the first time that I had to go through a crisis with a plan, right? Ooh. Like, it wasn't my doing. Like, I didn't make the mistake. I didn't, you know, go and blow the money. But now I'm going through a crisis with a plan where I feel like I got support. I got people around me that care for me, and I don't feel like I'm going to fall off the wagon or go back to doing this. And so, and I think that's key right there, man, is to take this time and have the mindset, as you said,
to say,
hey, I got to do something different, right?
Yeah.
I got to do something different. And even some of the businesses that we work with, you know, and again, like, you know, you do coaching, executive coaching, and you talk about, you know, your business shutting down, and you know how much money that is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you know how much money is connected to all the lives that
100%
supports, right?
100%.
And
yeah.
It's like, man, you know, and so the same thing with me, like, you know, I know how much money I had on the books,
right?
You know, ready to do, and all these other things. I know how many for our nonprofit. You know, I know how many donations was on the books too. Like, you know what I mean? How many prices we have out there. But, you know, and then when you start getting phone calls and you start getting cancellations on my part of whether it's speaking engagements, which, you know, hey, I'm not traveling to do anything anyway.
Right.
But, you know, teaching, different things of that nature, we had to quickly shift to say, okay, God, this is our daily bread. Me and my wife had to get together, and also with our daughter, because she lives in the house, you know, charity. And so we had to really say, okay, we're going to have to have a different mentality. You know,
yeah.
We can't act like this is not happening, because it is happening, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same time, what are we going to do that's going to be different, right?
Absolutely. Like,
you know, how are we still going to touch our people? How we're still going to reach people, and on the and with our church and ministry, you know, I know a lot of people are doing the Facebook Live things and different things of that nature, and I, God bless you, you know, for all those who readily had the equipment and know how and all to do those type of things. But really, man, we wanted to let people know we want to bring you into a space where you can still be seen, you can still be heard, you can still be connected, and you can still be inspired. And for us, that was this platform of Zoom, because we can have, you know, a couple hundred people in here and you know, and do our and do a good teaching and instruct people. But it really comes down to going back to the mentality, you know, like, this is not going to defeat me.
Yeah, 100%.
This is not going to break me. Like, I may have to, you know, some people may come out of this with a new business, a different business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that other business may not be able to open back up. You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't know. However, this is the time that we've been given to just, like you said, stop, slow down,
Think
a minute. And then one of the things that you said yesterday was revisiting that original thing.
Absolutely.
That original passion, vision, whatever it is inside of you. So, yeah.
And making sure you're still on track to it and making sure that the new information that you have as a result of your process is now added into it. You know, once you, you know, and this is something, you know, you gotta, cause I think, you know, there are levels in crisis, you know, cause at the beginning, and you would know this better, you know, than, you know, with your history and dealing with, you know, so many people and helping them out of it, maybe than what I would. But the first thing that happens, you know, is you're just, everything is scattered. There are no certainty, no footing anywhere. You know, the first thing you try to do is, you know, collect all of the things that were scattered that you can get your hands on and try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Yes.
You know, just tape, glue, drywall, caulk, you know, whatever it is.
All of it.
take it all. Just try to reshape it, reform it.
Yeah.
You know, and after you.
They'd be surprised why the thing keeps falling apart.
Exactly. You know, and then see, you know, what it is that's still there and say, you know, out of what's still there, because I really believe that even through all of this, I'm not saying God caused this or, you know, I'm not blaming this virus on anybody, okay? But I do believe that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose.
Yes, sir.
That is just what I choose to believe. That is the promise. And I stand on that promise. So whatever you have at the end of the day that you were able to put back together, look at it and say, okay, as long as the core of it is still in there, that's all that matters, which is the reason why you said you do it in the first place, right? Mine was to serve people, take care of people, okay? Core of it's still there. What else is still there? Mm-hmm. Now, everything else might be broken and fragmented, but I believe that if it was for a reason.
Right.
It was for purpose. So that means the things that aren't there now, I don't need.
Come on, man. Yep.
If they're not there now, I don't need them anymore.
Right.
So what is not there, that means that if God brought me to this situation, he will add to me and complete that broken picture. Yes, whatever your picture is, he will complete it for you.
Come on.
And all you have to do, literally, again, goes back to what I said, daily bread and submitting. Get back to that place of submission to where you can say, God, I don't have it all and I don't have a completed picture, but this is what I do have. Bless it.
Come on.
Bless it. Bless you know, it. Take these broken fragments that I do have and just bless it. I offer them back to you.
Yes, sir.
And I think we're all at that place right now. We're all at the place where everything was completely, the rug was ripped from beneath your feet. You know, you are unstable. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You know, there's a new plan presented every single day. Do I qualify? Do I not qualify for it? You know, am I going to have the infrastructure to, you know, when we get back in business, to get back out there and thrive like we are thriving before? You know, if you're an expansion plan, can you continually expand at this point? You know, how are my people going to view me, you know, when they come back, you know, and how are they going to feel? Are they going to be motivated to still work? Are they going to want to go work somewhere else? All these questions are going to be in your mind. All of these questions are going to be in your mind. But at the end of the day, whatever pieces God chooses to give you at the end of this thing and however it shakes out, that's all you need to continue to get to where God wants you to go. Because remember, its vision came from God.
Yes.
You're just a steward of it.
Yes, sir.
So that means he's responsible. He is responsible And this is not delineating responsibility, because right. you got the most responsibility in this. Because your responsibility is to submit.
Yes. It's to submit.
So that when you come out with these fragments, you can offer them back and say, okay, complete this picture. And he'll do it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. And that is so key, because, you know, people will say, you know, if you have, you know, if you don't know what to do, you know, you don't do anything, right? And that is so key, because sometimes in not doing anything, you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the prophet who's slaying all the prophets of Baal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elijah, you know, and then he, like, immediately after he gets done, fear comes on him. Now, you done slain all these prophets. All,
right.
Right? But then fear of one woman.
Yep, exactly.
You know, like, hits you so hard that you go hide in the cleft of this rock, right?
Yeah.
And realizing, like, you know, for some of us, we may have been killing it beforehand, and your business may have been booming and all those type of things. You've done all these great things. And then this one crisis has put so much fear in you that you just stalled out.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage those who are tuning into this and listening to this, is that you, in the stalling out, that you just purpose to hear God. Like, let him revisit you to that original vision that you had, as you said, you know, why did you do this in the first place? You know, why did you start your business? Why did you start your ministry? Why did you start, you know, whatever it is that you were working on, you know, and whatever that is inside of you, let him revisit you, right? And it's not going to be in the storm and the lightning and all of those things. It's going to be in that still small voice that God is going to visit you in, which is why you have to quiet yourself. Yes, you know, look at the news, see what's going on, read a report, whatever, but then come out of that and settle yourself down and say, okay, God, you know what? This life started with me and you, and this is where I'm at right now. Like, I have nothing else left, right?
Right.
Like, this is just about me and God right now. And so now let him speak to you afresh, and let him fire you back up, right? To get back to that place where you can look at that vision and the core of that, and whatever you got left around it, begin to place those things together. And I just want to encourage somebody, it's not going to be perfect right off the start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You may not have all the pieces that you need, but that's where collaboration comes in at. That's where other people come in at, talking to other people, making time to stay connected. Like, we may be practicing social distancing, but that doesn't mean you can't be connected, right?
Right.
You can still be socially connected.
I've heard someone say, physical, we should be practicing physical distancing, but still staying socially connected.
Yes. And that's really good. You know, where, yes, I'm physically separated from you, but socially we're still connected. And if socially we're connected, then that means spiritually we can connect on a different level, so that we can collaborate and get some things done. And it may not be to help in the middle of the crisis. It could be an idea that after the crisis is over, that can bring, you know, great things towards your path to help a lot of people, you know? And so I think that when we have moments like this, it's easy to fall into that position of why and woe is me, you know? It takes courage, and it takes intentionality to get in the place and say, okay, God, what do you want to do with me now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, man, all of us was in the middle of something. You know what I mean?
In
the middle of something, had something going on. You know, we were in the middle. We had just purchased a new building, you know, We're in the middle of this project, and yeah, we need a lot of money, you know.
Yeah,
we need a lot of brains and a lot of hands around the project as well, right? So, but God, you have it here, right? You gave it to us, knowing we were going to be here.
Right? Knowing.
So you did not bring us this far to fail us. You already know where we are. So, you know, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, and in that, I think that's where our confidence as believers should come in.
Yeah.
That's where our confidence as believers should come in, like to where you should know with all assurance that you lined all of these things up prior to this.
Yeah.
You won't fail me now.
Right.
You know, and if you have any experience, and it only takes experience with God to know that what I'm saying is true.
Yes, sir.
When your back has been against the wall and you seeing God provide for you, that's how you know that his promises are a yes and amen.
Amen. Come on, man.
You know, and I like to demystify you know, all of the religious God talk that people have, you know, that can be a little churchy sometimes and, you know, turn some hearers off. You know, you were talking a little earlier about, you know, just hearing from God and quieting yourself down. And, you know, one of my really good friends, if I said his name, you know, you would know him, you know, said, you know, Kevin, you know, I struggle sometimes to know if God is really speaking to me, you know, because when you think of, you know, the word speak, you know, you interpret it into, you know, audio, you know, like audibly, like you're expecting this grandiose voice to be like, I am the Lord God, you know? But getting back to those basics.
That'd be a nice voiceover for God right there.
Hey, tell Morgan Freeman to get out the way. I am the voice of God. but God speaking to you comes through your quiet time through his word.
Yeah, man.
It really is that simple. It's just opening up that Bible, you know, listening to the Bible, however you receive, you know, however you read or listen to things, and allowing God to speak to you through his word, because there's nothing actually that is happening in this world right now and in the history of the world that has not been outlined in his word.
Yeah.
You know, and through that and developing that spiritual connection of constantly reading his Bible every day, reading your Bible every day, getting his words down into your heart, down into your spirit, you grow acquainted with him, you know, and I try to practicalize it sometimes, like you become acquainted with your wife, or if you aren't, maybe we should get more acquainted with our wives, but are any relationship that you have, the way you get to know people is by spending time with them and by learning them, you know, and having conversation with them. And through that, you get to know them more to where you learn their character.
Yeah, man.
And that is how I practicalize my idea of hearing God. Although, I won't even go there. That's how I practicalize my idea of how I hear God is literally read that Bible, get him in your heart. And out of that, out of the abundance of your heart will spring forth all of these great ideas, all of this great, because he gave you your brain. It's not separate.
Right.
He gave you your brain. He gave you your mind. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. So that mind is his. It's just submitting that mind to him so he can download. He will download things into your mind. And when we say our mind, we think about our mind being our brain, but our mind is actually our heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually your heart. Like he's downloading things into you to make sure that when you're writing that vision out, when you're adding to that vision, as long as you're soaking yourself and renewing your mind and yourself in the word every single day, the right things are going to come out of you. And you want it to come out of you from the word, from God, because therein lies the answers to humanity and what people need.
Yeah, man.
That's how we can be light now. That's how we can be answers now.
Right.
But we have to practice that rhythm of continually washing ourselves every single day in the word to make sure that we can be an answer. So if one of your clients call you distressed, you know, which I talked to a couple of mine, well, I pretty much talk to a client every single day. They're like, I should just start calling them family now, because I've talked to, you know, all of you guys more than I talk to my, you know, extended family back home. But you know, you're ready, you're prepared, and you have a light. You have an answer. You know, you can be a beacon of hope for someone, you know? And so, yes, outside of, you know, the business is going to get back to normal. We were in the thriving economy before, you know, we're going to get back to that point. We've seen this happen before, you know, through, you know, these crises, you know, with the Great Depression, you know, 2008 that happened. You know, and here we are again. And out of it came the most ingenuity, the most multimillionaires in the history of the world when crisis struck.
Yeah. So
if we can quiet down as believers, wash ourselves in the word, revisit our vision, reacquaint ourselves with it, evolve that vision so that when the day comes that we can get back after it, we have the pieces that we need to have in place, we will be better on the other side.
Yeah, man, we will.
I believe that.
That's awesome right there. I think we can put a pin in that right there, because we will be better on the other side. And I think for people, if you want your faith rebuilt, to just remember, there is an other side of this. There is a coming out, you know. And so hold on to your faith. Stay true to what God has given you, and reposition yourself to hear him. And the way you need to hear him, which means make a decision to submit, you know, make a decision to submit. And I think that's really good, man. So the Barber Lounge, two locations right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so and growing, but tell people during this time, where they can log on to, get, grooming information, and maybe some beard tips, because mine is not, I don't know if I got the right products.
It's all good. No, you actually have all the right products. You are one of our best clients that buy products consistently. So you're all put together.
Yeah.
But so we're available on social media at Barber Lounge Toledo. That's Facebook and Instagram. And we're also available on our website at barberloungetoledo.com. We've got our online store up right now. For everybody that's asking, like, hey, where's the appointment page go? We took that down so people intentionally could not make appointments, because people think that Governor DeWine was like, oh, yeah, they're just going to be shut down for 2 weeks. I'm like, I know it's going to be much longer than that. So we took that down from now. But you can stay in touch with us via those social media handles and also our website, because we literally are offering grooming tips about 3 or 4 times a week. I'm actually going to be posting one right after we hang up, you know, to keep yourself looking fresh. And that's where you can find us. And it was an honor to literally be on here. And thank you for the invite.
Oh, man, thank you. Because, you know, this has been like in the making. Like I told you yesterday, I had it planned to launch it in the fall. And one, like, we have a nice little set, like we have a glass table, you know, some chairs, like a high top table, you know, that I found. I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool, you know, and so get to have leaders come on and talk very transparently and be vulnerable and open about, you know, just helping leaders through the processes and different things of that nature. And being one that had went through some struggles and things of my own. So I just want to be able to give back to leaders who I know, you know, get in spots at times, you know, that they can just get through. And so, which is where the glass comes up. Somebody thought it was glass table because it was, we're in a glass city, but
right.
So that works but too. But
we can play on leaders. That too. Yeah, we can
yeah,
play on
we
that.
We want to reach leaders outside of all these spectrums. Some of them may not be in there, but we just want to bring good content, man. And I think, thank you for agreeing to this. And so we look forward to, being back in your facility soon.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe somebody will write the governor and say, hey, can we put this order in place, like, for barbers and salons? Like, this is essential
as
business.
Essential businesses. Exactly. I saw on social media the other day, someone saying, how does all the politicians still look like they have haircuts?
Yes.
Somebody's going in there and cutting
hair. Somebody's going and cutting hair, man. Like, that is true. I saw Kevin Hart and it was somebody else, man. I was watching their deal, and I looked at it when this crisis first hit, like, you know what I mean, like a week into it, and I was like, oh well, you know, they're suffering too. They're like, I watched one the other day. I'm like, that's a fresh haircut.
That is fresh.
It's a Beijing.
Right, exactly. And he is on Instagram Live.
All right.
So you know that's not an old picture.
Right. That's a fresh cut in Beijing. What are you talking about?
Exactly. His barber's not that good to teach him over the phone.
No.
That's funny.
And you can't go get products because the stores are closed too. Like the hair stores
exactly.
Are closed, everything, you know.
So. And you ain't got a stock of Beijing in your house.
No.
I mean, I do. You know, I definitely do, but yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, man. So that's all good. Well, thank you again, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Give your love to your wife and your little baby, man, girl. She is such a cutie. And I thank love you. what you say to her every day, which was the three B's, which are what?
You're beautiful, you're brave, and you're brilliant.
Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yes, sir.
And so she is, you know, you hear so many of these young girls now define themselves as a B. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the B's that you want to be.
Brilliant. I got three B's for you. And it's not the Better Business Bureau.
Right. Awesome, man. Well, cool, man. Have a good one. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Glass table out.